Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, also Good Shepherd Sunday. Our order of service today begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with the hymn, Faith of Our Mothers, in honor of Mother's Day. Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Blessed are they who take refuge in him.
scripture lesson. Well, remember again, instead of an Old Testament reading, we have scripture lessons during the Easter season. Our scripture lesson from Acts 13, verses 15, 16, and 26 to 33 tells us about the Apostle Paul in his first missionary, where he's preaching the crucified, risen Savior. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.'" Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." Alleluia. From Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. Vision that John, the Apostle John, received from the Holy Spirit of Christ the Lamb, who was sacrificed for us. John wrote, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let's sing our next hymn, hymn number 551, Jesus, Shepherd of the Sheep. It's hymn number 436 in the Red Book. Shall live forever through faith in him. Amen. The Word of God, we want to consider this Good Shepherd Sunday, fourth Sunday of Easter, is our gospel reading from John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30, where John was inspired to write, "Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you did not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow sheep and lambs in our Good Shepherd's flock, a preacher one time asked an elderly Christian, elderly gentleman, how long he had been serving the Lord. And that elderly gentleman said, 50 years. Well, to that, the minister then said, "Well, Uncle Joe, after keeping the faith for so long, you must feel pretty confident of holding out to the end." Maybe the pastor was a little bit surprised when the elderly Christian responded to him, "Pastor, it's not a question of me holding out. It's whether the Lord is holding on to me. And the Bible assures me I can trust him for that." See, now that's the assurance that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is giving us in our reading for today. He's holding on to us. And that means that when he's holding on to us, we're safe in the arms of Jesus, completely safe in the arms of Jesus. Yet it is true, of course, that if we were to leave his arms, if we were to reject or abandon our Savior, then we better watch out. Then we're in a very dangerous spot. But the most important thing for us to always remember is that Jesus is holding on to us, and he doesn't want to let go. So as we face life's trials and troubles and aches and pains, how blessed we are to know that we're safe in the arms of Jesus, in our Good Shepherd's arm. Well, we're safe in the arms of Jesus because he is our Good Shepherd, because he gives us eternal life, and because he and the Father are one in caring for us. About 200 years or so before the time of our reading, the temple had been desecrated by a foreign power. A Jewish leader named Judas Maccabeus, he had repaired and rededicated the temple, got rid of that foreign power, and the feast of dedication that's referred to here, which is also known better by us as the Jewish Hanukkah, that was celebrated to remember the work of Judas Maccabeus and that rededication of the temple. Well, Jesus was in Jerusalem for that festival, for that feast, and it was about maybe 2 months before that that Jesus had called himself the Good Shepherd. But after he called himself the Good Shepherd, that's when the Jews accused him of being demon-possessed and raving mad. At the time of this feast, then, the Feast of Hanukkah, like I said, the Jews, they were clearly determined that they were going to get Jesus. And as he was walking around Solomon's colonnade, that's a porch area around the temple, the Jewish leaders surrounded Jesus so that he couldn't walk about freely. They wanted to try to trick him and ask him their questions, and with their questions, what they wanted to do is either get Jesus to answer a question that would discredit him before the people, or get him to answer something that somehow or other they could use against him with the Roman government. Well, they used a bit of a mock show of sincerity and suspense, and they were demanding this clear response from Jesus to the question, "Are you the Christ?" They wanted to know if he claimed to be the promised Messiah, the promised one. And they tried to give him the impression that their peace of mind depended on his answer to that question. Of course, Jesus knew their motives and their trickery that was involved. So Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Oh, Jesus was calmly reminding them of all of the evidence that he had previously given them, clear evidence that would answer their question if they just would look at that clear evidence, but they wouldn't believe it. They had heard his powerful preaching. They had seen his powerful miracles, but they refused to believe it, maybe even acknowledge that that was true, because they were not his sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." Now, Jesus' sheep, of course, are those who, by the grace of God, believe in him. And by the grace of God, we are among Jesus' sheep and lambs today. And we listen to his voice. But the word listen, that's an important word to think about a little bit. By that word, Jesus doesn't just simply mean that we hear what he says. When Jesus speaks to us, We don't want to have his words go in one ear and out the other, that we kind of ignore that message, that we don't take it seriously. An unbeliever, for example, like those Jews who challenged Jesus, they can't listen to Jesus and then do the will of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But James, he encourages us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. May God help us to always be among those people who eagerly and often and faithfully listen to his word and then always strive with God's help to do what God says, to do God's will. But now we have very good reason to listen to our Good Shepherd because we're safe in the arms of Jesus. Concerning his sheep, Jesus says, I know them and they follow me. Oh, some important words there. Jesus knows us. He recognizes us as his own. He understands our ways. He knows what we can and can't handle. And, well, he knows us better than we know ourselves. In one respect, that's good because he knows our needs and what help we need from him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He sees the sin that's in our lives. That's something that, well, we'd struggle with. But he also knows always what's best for us. And since he knows us so well, surely we'll want to follow him wherever he would lead us. And now see, we can follow him with confidence, knowing that he'll only guide us where we need to go. And when we follow him, again, we're safe in the arms of Jesus. Visitors who go to Switzerland, who plan to climb the Alps, it is impressed upon them how essential it is for them to have a good guide to lead them. How they'd be lost without a good guide. The presence of a good guide, well, that means safety and confidence. Oh, when climbers would reach a fork in the road, in the path, well, then they can look to the guide for guidance, saying, which way should we go? Or if they'd come to a path that leads by a steep cliff around the side of a mountain, oh, well, each of the people in the tour gladly grasps the guide's hand and passes safely by the treacherous, the dangerous corner. And when a member of the party tires because of a heavy backpack or knapsack, well, the guide willingly lends a hand. And so it is with our Good Shepherd. He's always looking out for us. He'll guide us every step of the way. He'll help us travel down life's often rocky path, rocky road. And he's always going to defend us when the great wolf, we know as Satan, would come after us and try to get us and attack us. And we know that our Good Shepherd, he's always going to protect us from the temptations that come our way from the unbelieving world around us. He'll give us the strength that we need. Strength so that we don't listen to the voice of the world around us, the unbelieving world around us that would try to lure us away from God and get us to follow our sinful nature instead of our God. Well, Jesus is our Good Shepherd. And when we're in our Good Shepherd's care, when he's watching out for us, well, then we're definitely safe in the arms of Jesus. Jesus said, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Our Good Shepherd, he's leading us to our eternal life. And now in faith, we believers can be sure of our eternal future because our certainty of heaven, it's not based on ourselves. If it were, then we'd be in trouble, of course, because, well, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we can be sure of our salvation because of Jesus, our good shepherd. Because he sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one thing that would keep us from heaven. He paid the wages of sin, which is death for us, so that we can receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. And he tells us that no one has the power to snatch us from his believing hand. That doesn't mean that a believer could never become an unbeliever, of course, though. A believer can reject God's blessings. He can turn away from God. Think of Judas, you know, one of the original 12 apostles. He was a believer, and he ended up rejecting Christ. He thought his sin of betraying the Savior was so great that Jesus couldn't possibly forgive him. So tragic when you think about it. There he was, so close to the Savior, and yet he ended up rejecting. Well, if a believer ends up rejecting Christ, the fact of the matter is that he can't say that the devil made him do it or the unbelieving world or his own sinful flesh made him do it. He can't blame anyone or anything other than himself. A believer who ends up rejecting Christ and loses his faith, he will have that thought to carry around with him for all eternity, that he himself refused the blessings of God. That's such a scary thing to think about carrying around for all eternity. Oh, there was a young boy who had a terrible time with car sickness. If he'd be in a car for 20 minutes, he would just get a terrible case of car sickness. He'd get so terribly sick. And well, he had a grandma who lived in the country 100 miles away from his home, and his trip to her home was always this terrible ordeal. But once he got there to grandma's house, he was just fine. He was just fine. His car sickness was gone. He could eat all the cake and the cookies that his grandma would give him, and he could roam around the beautiful countryside. He didn't have a problem in the world. He forgot the terrible trip, the car sickness that he had in getting there. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Our trip through this life, it's going to be full of trials and tribulations and aches and pains. But the wonderful thing is that our good shepherd, he'll go with us to get us through those trials and troubles. And like that young boy, when we finally do get to our destination, we'll forget about all of those troubles that we had along the way because we'll be enjoying the never-ending joys of heaven. Well, Jesus continues here. He says, my Father who has given my sheep to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. To further show us how safe and secure we are, how safe we are in the arms of Jesus, Jesus describes the relationship that exists between him and God the Father. In the work of caring for the sheep, both the Father and the Son are united. And, well, to try to snatch a sheep or a lamb out of Jesus' hands is the same as trying to snatch them out of the hands of God the Father. And the Father, well, even the Jews, they would recognize, they would admit that he's stronger than anyone or everything, including Satan, when Jesus said here, I and the Father are one. What he's doing is he's clearly telling us that he is God. He's not subordinate to the Father, he's equal to the Father. The Apostle Paul tells us, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Let's remember those words. In Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Let's remember those words and share those words with anyone who tries to tell us that Jesus isn't God, that he isn't fully God, that he, the God-man, didn't pay for all of our sins. To try to think of him as just a man, well, then he couldn't pay for our sins. But in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Jesus, along with God the Father, and of course also God the Holy Spirit, they're all united in caring for us, in watching out for us, in keeping us safe and secure now and for all eternity. In the hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's sing that to close our service today. We sing these words, we are weak, but he is strong. You and I, we're sinners who are weak, but our God, our good shepherd, is almighty. And when we have problems and troubles, let's always remember where our strength is. It's in the Lord. See, there's no reason for us to bear any trial or trouble by ourselves. You know, the fact of the matter is that what we can do is we can go to our fellow Christians for their help and their encouragement and their support. But more importantly, what we can always do is we can take our trials and troubles to the Lord. And then we're completely safe and secure because Jesus and God the Father and, well, and God the Holy Spirit as well, they're working together to take care of us. We're safe in the arms of Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, and no one can snatch us out of their hands. Our salvation, our eternal citizenship in heaven, it's completely guaranteed in Jesus. But are we always as sure of that citizenship as we could or should be? If we were asked, if we were citizens of the United States or whatever country you may come from, we'd answer, well, of course I am. When asked if we're going to heaven, it's kind of interesting that that same confidence isn't always there. We maybe have the tendency, instead of saying, well, of course we're going to heaven, to say, well, I hope so. And maybe even to say, but can anyone really know for sure? As if that citizenship weren't guaranteed. But because of Christ, it is guaranteed. Because of Christ, it is guaranteed. May God help us always to remember that our heavenly citizenship comes with a better guarantee than our United States citizenship or citizenship in any other country. We're completely safe in the arms of Jesus. So let's never forget that we are completely safe in the arms of Jesus. He is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. He will never leave us or forsake us. How safe we are in the hands of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Lead us now to the still waters of your life-giving word, so that we may abide in your Father's house forevermore. We pray to you, O Christ, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Lord God, on this Mother's Day, we're so very thankful for the Christian mothers that you've given to us, mothers who care about us, body and soul, always looking out for keeping us safe in the arms of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Lord God, please bless the world with more and more Christian mothers and fathers who are concerned about their children's entire well-being, their bodies and their souls. Help us all to be, thinking of that hymn, faith of our mother's Christian faith, we will be true to thee till death. What a blessing it is for us to know the Savior, to know his grace and love, and to know the safety and the security that we have in Jesus when we're close to him and his word. Keep us always close to that Savior in our good shepherd's flock. And so we gather up all of the prayers we have today as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. And we'll also sing Jesus Loves Me. It's hymn number 584 in the blue book. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Again, thank you for joining me for worship today. Just a couple quick announcements. Monday, Bob and Sherry's anniversary. Saturday, Mick Wilczynski has a birthday. Don't really have anything too new to report to you. Colleen, I believe, still rehabbing, getting better. Keep hearing Paula tell me about her painful legs. Keep her in your prayers. Maybe also just think about last week I told you about Mark Telfor. He was in a bad car, a motorcycle accident, and it looked very, very bad for him physically. Well, he's taken a good turn, and for someone who was out for 4 minutes, he appears to have full brain function and everything, so that's good. We thank God for taking care of him, and we'll pray that, the Lord Jesus would keep him safe and secure. Remember, Mark Telfor, he's the brother of a prospect that I've always had here to our church, and brother of, you've heard of Danny and Bobby Eckert, my pseudo-cousins here. Danny's brother is Mark. Again, thank you for joining me for worship today. The Lord bless and keep you always. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Good Shepherd Sunday.